الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. Honorable ulama, respected elders, brothers, mothers, sisters, our beloved youth, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of this universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First and foremost, we thank Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla that on the Laylatul Jumu'ah, the first of Jumad al-Akhirah, here in South Africa, so we are assembled here. And thereafter we thank the ulama of Darul Arqam for choosing a topic which really is the deed of the hour. And the topic they kept is regarding Shiaism, whether it is the fifth school or a deviant sect. The topic is very long, brothers, and especially for the ulama, I request that you should try and make some mental notes, because this topic needs not an emotional discussion, but rather an academic discussion. Without a shadow of doubt, the Shias now have become so powerful. When you just look at the world and geopolitics taking place, Lebanon, Hezbollah, Iran, so powerful in the Middle East, Iraq, majority Shia, Syria, we find that the rulers, they are Shia. So they are becoming bolder and stronger by the day. Let us take it, there are seven topics I will discuss, there are many more, but I will just break it down to seven inshallah. The first question, honorable ulama, brothers, sisters, is, what is meant by Shia? When we study the Noble Quran, we find that the word Shia has a good connotation and a bad connotation. Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala speaks of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, wa inna min shiyatihi la Ibrahim. And from the family and from the party of Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu salam came Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. So Almighty Allah in this way is telling us that if you study Nuh alayhi salatu salam's descendants, you will find Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. So Shia in the Noble Quran has a wonderful meaning. And you see in another place, you go to Egypt. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam leaves Egypt, now he goes to Midian, and there are two people fighting. هَذَا مِنْ شِيَّتِهِ وَهَذَا مِنْ عَدُوِهِ. This is from my Shia, it's from my group, and that is from the enemy. So we see that Shia has a good meaning as well. So Shia would mean for us an easy example, brothers and sisters. We are in the month of May, election month. So you have ABC party, XYZ party. So the people who are going to vote for ABC, they will be the Shia of that party. And those people who vote for XYZ party, they will be the Shia of that party. You agree with their beliefs, you agree with their aims, you agree with their objectives. So it is used in a generic sense. So it is used in a bad connotation as well. Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala teaches us, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا. Verily those people who have made compartments and departments of the deen, they have broken the deen into pieces and fragmentation. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا. And they have become many splinter groups. لست منهم في شيء. You Mustafa alayhi salatu salam, you must have nothing to do with them. So those people who took this pure deen of Islam and then adulterated it and made fragmentation and splinter groups, لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ, you Mustafa alayhi salam must have nothing to do with them. So the first thing we learn, brothers, is the word Shia can be used in a good connotation and can be used in a bad connotation. Today, when we speak of Shia, what comes to our mind? Straight away, Iran. Read the glorious history of Iran, dear brothers, ulama and sisters. Do we know what is Iran? That Iran that produced Imam Muslim bin Hajjaj from Nisapur. You know the greatest book of hadith after Imam Bukhari Sahih, Imam Muslim's book. That Iran that produced Imam Abu Dawood Sadistani, also from Iran. That Iran that produced Imam Ibn Majah from Qazwin. They all hail from Iran. Nisapur today is in Iran. Yet Qazwin is in Iran. Sadistan is in Iran. Today you ask any person what is the capital of Iran, they will tell you Tehran. What is Tehran's old name? Ray, Raya, Imam Fakhruddin Razi. He came from Ray, from Tehran. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, the sage of the age, rahimahullah, originally from where? From Iran. So you can go on, Abdul Qadir Razi, the one who wrote the Qamus and the Lugha, remember also from Iran. So it has a great, great history. First point we have discussed, that the word Shia, remember, can be used in a good meaning, that a party that is standing for Haq and the truth, and can be used for the pure meaning, in that meaning, that way they are standing for evil and devilish activities. Let's come to point number two. In time of Mustafa alayhi salatu salam, everybody would come to Nabi alayhi salatu salam. After the demise of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, then Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu an, then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an, then Sayyidina Usman radiallahu an. So there was no real split in the Ummah, remember that at that time. Everybody had one central point, and they know that this person was the Khalif. We will discuss the propaganda and objections just now. On a lighter note, because there are many youngsters and the lecture is long, I'll be honest, there are many things to discuss. So, you know, once there was a debate between a Sunni and a Shi'i. Sunni is we and Shi'i are the opposite side. So the debate was, for example, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The Shi'i was there on time, before time. And the Sunni got up past 3, half past 3, then about past half past 3, pitched up. So the Shi'i told him, you don't have shame, you make us wait here for half an hour and more. You already frightened, your wuzu broke already or what? He said, no man, you know what happened? I went to read Salat there and somebody stole my shoes. I think a Shi'i stole my shoes. So this type of thing. He says, the habit from Nabi alayhi salatu salam's time, the Shias, they're stealing our shoes. So did Shia in that state of emotion. He said, what nonsense you're talking? You know in Nabi alayhi salam's time, there were no Shias. So he said, finish the day, debate is won already. You already admitted there were no Shias in that time. So anyway, brothers, that is now a lighter note, let's go on to serious stuff. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, now, first 10 years, you know, I'm speaking of after Nubuwwah, now the 10 years, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, 13 years spent in Makkah, then the last 10 years in Madinah Munawwara, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam comes and performs Hajj. On the 14th of Zilhijjah, Mustafa alayhi salatu salam leaves Makkah Mukarramah and is going back to Madinah to Rasul. After 4 days travel, it's a Sunday, it's the 18th of Zilhijjah, 10th year of the Hijrah. Get these dates right, brothers and sisters. 18th of Zilhijjah, 10th year of the Hijrah, Sunday it is. Mustafa alayhi salatu salam stops at Ghadir Khum. Ghadir means a well, like a pool where there is water, and that place is called Ghadir Khum. And then Nabi alayhi salatu salam delivers a memorable khutbah and a lesson. What was the khutbah? Praising and giving and mentioning the manaqib, virtues and merits of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. We accept it, it's mentioned in our books as well. Mishkah Sharif, Musnad Ahmad, various books have it.
And Nabi alayhi salam said, Man kuntum maulahu fa aliyun maula. Now why did Nabi alayhi salatu salam say all these things and pray Sayyidina Ali immediately after Hajj? The logical conclusion the Shia say was, Nabi alayhi salatu salam is already making ishara and suggestions that I want Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an to be the first caliph. And if you look at it logically, it might make sense. That is why, brothers, we must remember that we must always study the Quran Kareem with sababun nuzul. That know what is the background and why was that verse revealed. And when we study Ahadith Mubarakah, then know what is Asbabul Wurud. Why did Nabi alayhi salam say those words on that occasion? There was a Sahabi, his name was Burayda radiallahu an. He and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu had altercation. And he used certain words and told Sayyidina Ali, I don't like you. We are human beings, Sahabas are human beings, remember that. They're not angels or something, they had feelings. So Nabi alayhi salatu salam heard about this, and to calm them down, Nabi alayhi salatu salam said that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is my son-in-law, and man kuntu maulahu fa aliyun maula, that Ali radiallahu anhu is also my beloved friend, and so forth and so on. So it had nothing to do with making the khalif and so forth. Go on chronologically, it is the ending of the month of Safar, 11th year of the Hijrah. Then what happens, brothers and sisters in Islam? Mustafa alayhi salatu salam falls ill. Who does Nabi alayhi salatu salam appoint as his imam? I ask you a simple question. And these are how you will interact with them. You do not just come there and say that you can do this. You will not win them like this. Remember, engage them in academic discussion. Who could prevent Mustafa alayhi salatu salam if Nabi alayhi salatu salam had to say, Oh Ali ibn Abi Talib, my son-in-law radiallahu anhu warda, you be the imam, I am ill. The Sahaba all should accept it. No, Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala informs Mustafa alayhi salatu salam, you appoint Abu Bakr Siddiq, muruhu, that you tell the wives of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, and them came, Ya Rasool Allah, my father is raqiq al-qalb. When he stands there on your musalla, he will tear and he will weep, he will never be able to perform the imamat. Mustafa alayhi salam now really furious, muru Abu Bakrin, tell him he must make imamat. Wa inna kunna la sawahibu Yusuf, you are becoming like the women who told Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam to do wrong things. You want to give me wrong mashura? Nabi alayhi salam insisted, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and must become the imam. For approximately 2 weeks, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu became the imam. So this is why Shaykhul Islam and all the ulama who are here and brothers who know Arabic is one of the greatest books you must get on this topic. Allama Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah has written Minhajul Sunnah. It's a book against the Shias. And in there Ibn Taymiyyah has written this wonderful incidents. I'll mention the incident in detail and come back to Ibn Taymiyyah. So that's one big dalil that if Nabi alayhi salatu salam wanted Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu to be the first khalif, he should appoint him as the imam. But he appointed Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala as the imam. Mustafa alayhi salatu salam passed away on a Monday. There's no question about it. Let's go backwards. Monday, Sunday, Saturday, Friday, Thursday. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الْخَمِيسِ وَمَا يَوْمُ الْخَمِيسِ. This hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif 7 times. This hadith is mentioned in Sahih Muslim. Authentic hadith. The incident is this, Mustafa alayhi salatu salam is ill, he's sick. He tells the Sahaba who are there, bring a pen and paper and I want to dictate something. In our hadith terminology, this is known as Hadithul Qirtas. Hadithul Qirtas. These are 4 or 5 days prior to the demise of Mustafa alayhi salatu salam. So somebody said that is Nabi alayhi salatu salam speaking like, you know, is he already gone, you know, to pass away and so forth? Is he so sick and so forth? He wants a pen and paper. So then there was some ikhtilaf and difference of opinion.
It's true. Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, Qumu anni, go away from me. The Shias turn the whole story around using our books as well. And what do they say? They say, look at the injustice of the Sahaba. It was few days prior to the demise of Mustafa alayhi salatu salam. He wanted to write down the name of Sayyidina Ali and all the other Imams thereafter. But this Umar bin Khattab, this Sayyidina Abu Bakr, this Sahaba, they were the one who prevented them. And Sayyidina Umar said, Hasbuna Kitabullah, Allah's Kitab is sufficient for us. They raised three objections. Makulah kufr, kufr nabashad, remember what I'm telling you now is kufr. We feel so difficult to utter such words. The first objection they said, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, Nabi alayhi salatu salam is talking nonsense, Allah forbid. First objection. Second objection they made is, they said, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Hasbuna kitabullah. And then they have another objection that they say, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar are usurpers of the leadership. Let's look at each one of this and see. I can't go into all explanation very briefly. For the ulama, this hadith is mentioned 7 times in Bukhari Sharif. 6 places in Bukhari Sharif it comes, a hajara with hamza istifham. And 1 place it is mentioned just hajara without the hamza. So if you look at that one hadith, then the meaning could be hajara, that he passed away or is on the verge of leaving us, fahjurhum hajran jameela. Or the meaning couldn't be Allah forbid, talk nonsense and so forth. So the Shias quote Bukhari Sharif, our book, conveniently leaving out the 6 other ahadith and quoting the one where the hamza is not mentioned. The meaning of the hadith is, a hajara, has Nabi alayhi salam be on the verge of leaving us? So is Nabi alayhi salatu salam going to in a coma? And then first of all, ask him. So if Allah forbid Nabi alayhi salatu salam is gone in that state, he doesn't know what he's speaking, then what is the meaning of ask him? It has no meaning then. It becomes something superfluous, something zaid and extra. So remember that first argument holds no weight. Second argument, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, Hasbuna kitabullah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu knows he was in Hajj already. In Hajj already the ayat was revealed, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. The deen was complete. So what Nabi alayhi salatu salam had to write or wanted to dictate was not so important in this sense that it is going to change the whole Sharia or something as the Shias want us to believe. So we have the Quran, we have the Sunnah, and now Nabi alayhi salatu salam is ill. Third one they said, no. That Nabi alayhi salatu salam did not write it, and Sayyidina Umar especially did not allow Nabi alayhi salatu salam write it. Fine, let's take that objection. This is Thursday, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الْخَمِيسِ. This is the Thursday. Sayyidina Umar wasn't there Friday, Saturday, Sunday all the time. They all came in and out, in and out. If Nabi alayhi salatu salam really wanted to write the imamate of the Shias, he could have easily written it and no one could prevent him. So remember that these are the allegations made against Sayyidina Umar and Sahaba. They say Sayyidina Umar said, Hasbuna kitabullah, so he's rejecting the hadith. Remember in the Arabic language, if you say Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil, Allah is sufficient for me and Allah is the best dispenser of our affairs, does it mean we're rejecting Nabi alayhi salam? No. So that is how we will answer them point by point, that is the Shias. Now brothers, we're coming to the most important point. And this point is, the second point, we must understand this point here. Everything of Shiaism rotates around this point here. What is the point that we are going to discuss? You see, Shias, there are many, many groups, even today. If you go today to Yemen, I've been there, alhamdulillah, you get the Zaydi Shias. Imam Zayd, they came to him and told him, O Zayd, that you must curse Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhum and them. He said, I'm not prepared to do this. Farafadu, and they left him. And in the year 121 AH after Hijrah, they assassinated and killed him. Shias killed Imam Zayd, remember that. The Zaydis are Muslim in Yemen, in Sana'a, in those places. We don't agree with everything they say. For example, they say Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an is the greatest companion among all the Sahaba. We don't agree with that. But they also speak very highly and believe in Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhum and so forth. So we should know that as well. Then you get other groupings of the Shias. There's no time to go into that. Let's come to the main one. They call themselves, as far as belief go, Imamiyya or Ithna Ashariya. Imamiyya, they believe in the Imams. Or they believe in 12 Imams, so therefore they call themselves Ithna Ashariya. And in fiqh, in jurisprudence, we call ourselves Muslim, Ahlu Sunnah wa Jama'ah. In fiqh, we say we follow the Shafi'i school, or Hanafi school, or Maliki, Hanbali school. They say in fiqh, they are following the Ja'fari school. We'll discuss that in detail just now. Central to the belief of the Shias, dear brothers, sisters, is this concept of Imamiyya. They say that this is of paramount importance, brothers. How we believe and the Shias believe, until here we are equal, regarding prophethood, Almighty Allah selected the prophets and messengers. Just now our Mawlana, wonderful Nazam, he read, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the chosen one, the selected one. Anbiya, prophets and messengers are selected by Almighty Allah and not elected by people. Now when you go after that, Nabi alayhi salatu salam's demise takes place. We the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah say, Khilafat came into operation and became into existence. I told you, I'll come back to Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykh al-Islam wrote in Minhaj al-Sunnah, do you know what Nabi alayhi salam wanted to write? Nabi alayhi salatu salam wanted to write, clearly, explicitly, after me, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, but we made the Khalif, because the hadith, Nabi alayhi salam himself said, as mentioned in Bukhari, يَعْبَ اللَّهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَكُونَ أَبَا بَكْرٍ. That the Muslim, Allah will refuse, the believers will refuse, but only Abu Bakr can become my successor. So see, that is what Nabi alayhi salam wanted to write, but the Shias obviously will not accept that. Let's carry on. We say after the demise of Nabi alayhi salam, this Khilafat, Shia say no, this Imamat. What do they mean by Imamat? They say that there are 12 Imams, divinely appointed by Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla, just like the prophets and messengers, and certain instances even greater than the prophets and messengers. How come? Number one, they are infallible. Open, I came with two books now. I was reading in the plane. I'll tell you a story also what happened in the plane. If I forget, just remind me. So remember that they say Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Imam Zainul Abidin, Imam Baqir, Imam Jafar. Everyone, they use the name Imam till Imam Mahdi. Why? Because this is not the Imam of your masjid. This is not the Imam of your country. This is the leader and Amirul Mu'mineen. This is the Imam. Divinely appointed, selected by Almighty Allah. And he has a divine message and mission. The Qadianis, brothers and sisters in Islam, they told us, they believe in one person, Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, Allah forbid, Allah forbid, as a prophet after Mustafa alayhi salam, the entire ummah were unanimous, this consensus, that we made them non-Muslim out of the fold of Islam. I tell you, the Shias, not one, they made 12 people as imams, and they put them on par with the prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and other prophets, and they even went greater than the prophet. How come? They said that these infallible imams, they have the knowledge of ma kan wa ma yakun, of the past and the present. These imams, they hold the heavens and the earth together. These imams, with them everything happens on this earth. Even Nabi alayhi salatu salam did not claim such things, but they claim all these type of things for the imam. If you think I am, you know, taking out from my thumb, Allama Kulaini, even when we speak with our enemy, we'll take their name with respect. Allama Kulaini, who they call the greatest scholar of their time, he wrote a book called Kafi. And why is called Kafi? Huwa kafin li shi'atina. This book, Ye Usulul Kafi, it will suffice for every Shia, irrespective of where he or she stays in. So we must remember it is the greatest book, like our Sahihul Bukhari, that is Usulul Kafi by Allama Kulaini. All these things he wrote where he discusses about Imamah. We ask them that, you know, we're surprised. In the Quran Kareem, Almighty Allah spoke of 25 prophets, messengers, alayhimu salatu wassalam. But we don't see any names here of your 12 Imams. Nowhere in the Quran. No Imam Ali, no Imam Hassan, no Imam Hussein, no Imam Zainul Abidin, no Imam Baqir, no Imam Jafar, and Kareem, or nowhere. They say, you see, you Sunnis, you don't know how to read Quran. See, we show you how to read Quran. Let me tell you a story. If I carry on too academic, you know, then you people, I saw, I know, I'm lecturing now for 30, 35 years with Allah's help. Few years ago, I can't remember, let me tell you two stories. That few years ago, I was in Masjid Nabawi, it was a Friday. That I remember clearly. It was Hajj or Umrah, I can't remember. I was reading Quran Sharif, and just sitting and reading. You know, nobody, nothing great, we all read Quran Sharif. One person came, he tapped me. He said, you speak English? He said, yes, yes. He said, I'm from Iran. Then he shook my hand. He said, I'm a nuclear scientist. I said, you're a nuclear scientist? He said, yes. I said, take your nuclear and bomb the hell out of Israel. Why you don't do that? No, no, we like to knock Israel a little bit, you know, so this type of thing. Or the other day in the Star, they had, I don't know if you already get Star here. They said there are 200,000 Holocaust survivors there in Israel. But every day 35 are dying. So I said on the radio today or yesterday or tomorrow, you will hear it one of these days. You know, I have to record my program. I say when I read that in the Star, then I chuckled. The next day, they had the same article, they took the 35 out, I see. That every day 35 Jutlas are dying who were part of the Holocaust, you know, survivors they call them. But every day because of maybe they sing Hitler or whatever in the dream, so you know, they're all going in one by one. So leave that story. Now he came to me, he said, I'm a nuclear scientist and this and all. I said, you man. He said, not only that, I'm a Hafiz of Quran. Now here I want to warn you brothers and sisters. You see, sometimes we also become irrational, we become emotional, and then they catch us. Many a time our people will say, you Shias cannot become Hafiz. Don't make this statement. Today they got many Hafiz. They realize this weakness in their ranks. And today they have started Darul Tahfiz in many places, in Qom and Tehran and here and there in those places. This person told me, nuclear scientist, I forgot his name, he told me that, you know, I'm such a Hafiz. You can ask me anywhere in the Quran, I'll tell you the surah and I'll tell you the verse number. I said, you will do that? He said, test me. I opened the Quran, I just turned a few pages, I said, read. I read from here. So he read. He gave me the surah, he gave me the verse number. I said, Subhanallah, excellent. Second one I asked him, again, excellent, no hesitation. Third one, again. Fourth one, again. Fourth one, he made a slight mistake, so still is 90%. So I told him, you know, you beat me also, I can't do that, I'll be very honest. Anyway, in the Quran, if you ask me, we can't give every time the correct ayat of my heart, you know, wonderful you are doing. So I said, my brother, now, these are the words. This is in Masjid Nabawi now. Then I opened the ayat which Maulana recited just now, and Maulana Aku spoke about it also. ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Mustafa عليه الصلاة والسلام, سيدنا أبو بكر صديق رضي الله عنه, left Makkah Mukarramah, went to غار ثور and spent 3 nights there. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala speaks of this incident in a noble Quran. Thaniya's name, the second of the two, cannot refer to anyone, even the Shia tafsir admit it is Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. I said, now me and you, we're going to go in front. You see, next to Mustafa alayhi salatu salam, there Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is buried. The words I give you credit are 90%, you're a champion. Now let's go into the meaning. So he said, you know what, you speak to my Ayatullah, I'll bring him. I said, leave Ayatullah first, we'll speak to him after. You we're speaking about now. So I said, translate this verse. He said, no, I can't, I don't know how to translate. I said, fine. I said, yes, Farsi Quran also. You know they have translations. I said, take Farsi Quran and translate. He said, no, leave it the translation. I said, okay, let's go. He refused. So I told him, brother, I helped him. I said, now, in Masjid Nabawi, I'm telling you, you kafir and you're out of the fold of Islam. You believe, you read this verse of the Quran, you by heart and eat, but you are not accepting the meaning of this verse here. You see, brothers, you must understand what is happening. This is part, everywhere Iran sends an ambassador. I want to get you on a topic, now this just came in two, three things. Everywhere where Iran sends an ambassador, it is not an ambassador like my country and your country. We send them because of their allegiance to the country, because they have political, you know, skill, or because they were so many years with the struggle or whatever. They look for such ambassadors who can propagate the Shia school in that country. If you think I'm speaking from my thumb, go to Cape Town and ask them. When they invited the previous ambassador to Cape Town, for 45 minutes he gave a talk, and every sentence, second sentence, cursing and criticizing Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And if I'm talking from my thumb, you should come. You know, how many stories I tell you. You come to my house and some of you got the book on Khomeini, white in color, the declarations and writings and sayings of Khomeini. At the back you will see his snap is there. There you will find what Khomeini wrote about of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Abu Huraira is the kingpin in hadith. If you bring Abu Huraira down, the entire corpus of hadith will fall down. So remember this. Brothers, let's just carry on, you know, otherwise the stories won't end. Now about imamate, we ask them, how come that there is nothing mentioned in Quran? They say it is mentioned. We ask them, give us one verse. So they read, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul wa ulil amri minkum. Oh, you who believe, be obedient to Almighty Allah, be obedient to Mustafa alayhi salatu salam, and be obedient to those ulul amri minkum. So they translate this as the 12 imams. It's not mentioned, but their translation is like that. We see, if you translate it like that, this ayat is going to work against you. We translate it that the people in authority, your president, your prime minister, your king, your ruler, you be obedient to him as long as they don't pass a law against Islam and the teaching and doctrines of Islam. Continue with it verse. They said it refers to the 12 imams. Infallible imam, innocent imam, that's how they translate it. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. If you have dispute regarding anything, then refer that disputed issue to Almighty Allah and to Mustafa alayhi salatu wassalam. Allah did not say إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Allah did not say anything about the imams or the other people. It shows that Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla himself did not mention the imams, and let alone speak about they are infallible. This is the imam and Quran. Imam, the Quran, and Sayyidina Ali. Let me give you another one, two incidents. This is another topic I'm coming to. The tahrif, how they believe in the Quran being interpolated, the Quran Kareem being changed. Mustafa alayhi salatu salam was commanded by Almighty Allah. Remember Hajj time in the memorable khutbah, what Nabi alayhi salam said, Ala hal ballaghtu? Did I convey the message? The Sahaba said yes. Allahumma shahad, Allahumma shahad. Oh Allah, you bear testimony. Mustafa alayhi salam did that. The ayat got revealed. This is the ayat of tabligh, they call it. Ya ayyuha ar-rasul balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik wa in lam taf'al fama ballaghta risalata. O Mustafa alayhi salatu salam, you must convey the message which Almighty Allah has revealed to you. And if you do not reveal this message and propagate this message which was revealed to you, then you have not fulfilled your mission and your message. Listen to what the Shias read. Mullah Baqir Bajlisi, he says,
The amount of ahadith we have, understand this my respected ulama, the amount of ahadith we have on imamat, the same amount of ahadith we have on tahriful Quran. Do you know who's Mullah Baqir Majlisi? One of their greatest ulama and ayatullahs, he's the person who they call a marji. The ulama used to come and sit at his feet. He's written this whole book, he's written on this topic. They say the verse actually is this: Ya ayyuha ar-rasul balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik fi aliyyin. You must convey the message regarding Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. And if you do not do that, فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَا, then you have not fulfilled your mission and message. See, interpolation in the Quran. I told you, imamat is central to everything in Shiaism. Imamat vis-a-vis Quran. Go to Allama Kulaini's book, Usulul Kafi, and what does he say? He say this Quran, which they brought to us now, is not the no holy Quran revealed to Mustafa alayhi salam, and what Sayyidina Ali and them used to read. The Quran Kareem mentioned in Kulaini's book, Usulul Kafi, 17,000 verses were in the noble Quran. Today, Quran Sharif got 6,236 verses. More than 50% is missing already. That is according to Shia. So if you take Shia with Quran, this is their viewpoint. But you can then object. But they read our Quran, they print the Quran in Iran, and it is the same like our Quran. We will come to that point just now. Then my brothers, the Shia with Hadith. Ye dear ulama, you ask anyone, does Hadith Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, Abu Dawood, Tirmizi, does all these ahadith kitab of ours, they reject it totally. Absolutely out. We ask them, what is the meaning of Hadith according to Shias? They say the central point is that there must be a person from the Ahlul Bayt. His name must be there in the chain of transmission. Then only is that hadith acceptable to us. So the hadith will be reported by Imam Jafar Sadiq, or by Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, or by Imam Ali, or Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Imam Musa Kazim, Imam Hassan Askari, or somebody like. So then only will they accept that hadith. So therefore, how we have, when we speak about Darul Uloom Madrasa, we speak of Sihai Sitta, the six books, the books that are authentic, or most of the ahadith are authentic there. They have four books. Number one, Usulul Kafi. Second, Malla Yahdurul Faqih. Third one, Al-Istibsar. And fourth one, Tahzeeb. So their entire corpus of hadith is totally different. We are speaking on a total different level. What we say hadith and what they say hadith too. We ask them, what about Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman? They say Ghasibin, they are usurpers. What about Sayyidina Abu Huraira, the biggest liar, fabricator of hadith, Allah forbid. Everything they have written, we have. When you study hadith ulama, you know we have a chain of transmission. So you studied hadith by this ustad, then ustad, till Imam Bukhari, then Imam Bukhari to Mustafa alayhi salatu salam. They have two, three books very famous, Rijalul Kashi, Rijalul Tusi. In there they have all their Rijal. They have all their transmitters and reporters. The books are available. So you must remember their understanding of hadith, our understanding of hadith is totally different. When you have imamat, that imamat's consequence and the result of imamat becomes something else. This they call al-wala wal-bara. Understand these terminologies, they are of paramount importance. You see, when we used to play soccer, cricket, you know, in the young days, Highlands Park playing Durban City. I went to see them in Ren Stadium, you know. From Heidelberg we used to go. So all the Durban guys, one day, I must tell you another story, you like stories, you youngsters. Huh? So one day, that we went to see Highlands Park, Durban City, Ren Stadium. You know, I was 9-10 years old. So, but we were crazy for soccer. So when we bought the ticket there, I was becoming Hafiz or something. I read in my mind, Kulu Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad, you know, and this.
So then, you know, that time apartheid, they put all of us one side. So the Durban people all going mad for Durban City, and we Transvaalers going mad for Highlands Park, you know. So then they announced, the person with this ticket here, you won the prize. The person, we went in one car, the person next to me, I missed it by one number. The person this side said, I also missed it by one number. I'm watching a match, you know. No time to watch ticket and all this. Say, hey, take out your ticket, let's see. So I say, hey, is your ticket that won? My ticket won. Kulu Allah's barakat, you see? And this time also. So, now we're going past. If you know Rand Stadium, they put us this side. Now you must go to the grandstand. You see? You will understand why I'm saying this. So when you go past there, these whites, they say, hey, Kuli, Kuli, Kuli. They shout the guts out of me. You understand? The Kuli won the prize. And this type of things here. That is wala and bara. When you love someone, you elevate him to such a level that you take him even beyond the level of Anbiya and Prophets and Messengers. And when you hate people, you hate them so much that you say they are worse than shaitan. Now the result of this imamat from the Ahlul Bayt, who is Ahlul Bayt? I must still explain that. And the result of it is what? Wala. We are prepared to give our life for Imam Ali, for Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Imam. We love them to bits. Don't you see, my respected South Africans and brothers and sisters? I heard myself, Umrah time, Hajj time, our South Africans telling me, say, I don't agree with you Maulanas and Muftis and Ulama. How can you say that these people here are not Muslim, or they are not good people? Just look at how they crying. Look at their dedication to Islam. Look at their mullah, their ayatullah, how he's dressed with a black turban and nice beard and everything. I never saw such dedication. We'll come to that also. If I miss any point which I'm saying, I must remind me. Now brothers, you must remember that is called wala. Wala means that you love people to such a level that anything people tell you, Quran, Hadith, whatever, you're not interested. You made up your mind. Bara, to hate people. So the hatred of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, the hatred of Sayyidina Umar, the hatred of Sayyidina Usman, or Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa, and majority Sahabas is in the inner recesses of their hearts. And that is how they are trained. After imamat, the result must be wala and bara. Loving to the extreme and hating to the extreme. Now go to the next point. Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala used the word Ahlul Bayt 3 times in the Noble Quran. Almighty Allah, when He used it 2 times, Shias agree, we agree, it refers to the wife. But the third place, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَانْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. First page, 22nd Jews, وَمَنْ يَقْنُدْ read there. Shia say, Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala revealed this verse only for Ahlul Bayt. When they speak of Ahlul Bayt, key point for you to remember, brothers and sisters in Islam. Ask any Shia, what is the meaning of Ahlul Bayt? They say Ahlul Bayt first and foremost means Punchton Park. Mustafa alayhi salatu salam, then it refers to Sayyidina Ali, then Sayyidina Fatima, then Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein, Punchton Park, it refers to the 5. Then we bring the other Imams in, already Imam Ali is in, Imam Hassan is in, Imam Hussein is in, so you bring the others inside. So total they become 14, with Mustafa alayhi salatu salam. In Urdu there's a book, and you ulama and people who know Urdu, remember you should get 14 sitare, 14 stars. So when they speak of Ahlul Bayt, always remember this, respected ulama. Ahlul Bayt in Shia terminology refers only to 14 people. The 12 Imams, Mustafa alayhi salatu salam, and Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. No one else. Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu's children, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu's children, Imam Jafar's children, and Imam Baqir's children. No one it includes except these 12 Imams, Mustafa alayhi salatu salam first, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. This is the meaning they make. Why do they make that meaning?
Study the ayat I read before, study the ayat I read after, and all got to do with Azwaj Mutahharat, the wives of Mustafa alayhi salatu wasalam. But what do they say? They say, how can Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha be part of Ahlul Bayt? How can Sayyida Hafsa radiallahu anha be part of Ahlul Bayt? They are excluded. And they will quote certain hadith as well. So you must remember that they are shooting themselves in the foot, because they exclude all the children, all the grandchildren. Our meaning of Ahlul Bayt is that it refers to Mustafa alayhi salatu salam's consorts and wife, the children, the grandchildren, everybody. And if you look at Quran Kareem, read Nabi Lut alayhi salam's story, فَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَأَهْلَهُ. We saved and rescued Nabi Lut alayhi salam and his family. So family included his wife and his children. But the wife was a non-Muslim, so Almighty Allah said, إِلَّا مَرَأَتَهُ, except his wife. So when the word ahl is used in Quran terminology, it includes the wife. But they say it excludes the wife. So this is what they do, they twist and turn, according to their desires, the Quranic verses. Let's go to another topic, brothers. Sahaba. Our Imam Mawlana Gawgah read the verse today, Muhammadur Rasulullah. A person came to Imam Malik rahimahullah. Listen to this. And he criticized the Sahaba. When any person starts criticizing Sahaba, you must remember that this person here has Shia leanings. So he asked him, Imam Malik was a genius. He asked him, I want to ask you one question. He said, fine. He read, للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا. The muhajirin were those people who were sent in exile. They were so poor and so forth. They did everything solely only for the pleasure of Allah. أنت منهم, are you from them muhajirin? He said no. He said, let's read the next verse. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّوُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. The Ansar were those people who prepared the Iman and the homes. They loved those people who made Hijrah. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. They gave preference to others, the Muhajirin, over themselves. وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. أَنْتَ مِنْهُمْ, you from them? He said, no. He said, let's read the next verse. والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان. Oh Allah, forgive us and forgive our brothers who passed away with Iman. Forgive our brothers who passed away with Iman. Allah is elevating my rank and your rank, brothers, sisters in Islam. Allah is saying, me, you, all of us are the brothers of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Abu Huraira, Sayyidina Ali. Imagine what rank Allah gave. Look at the verdict Imam Udari Rijla Imam Mali gave. You person, man sabba ha'ula, falaysa min ha'ula, who sways and abuses and criticizes the Sahaba, you cannot belong to this third category. For us, it is part of our faith. You can take so many verses. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ. Almighty Allah took the Sahaba and made them the barometer that you must follow in the footsteps of the Muhajirin and Ansar, those who embrace Islam in the early stages. Almighty Allah says, حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Almighty Allah made Iman beloved to them and placed it in their hearts. Almighty Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا and وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Those people who brought Iman, they made Hijrat, they made Jihad, struggled and strived the path of Allah. And those who helped them, وَآوَوْا وَنَصَرُوا, those people who gave them shelter and they assisted them, all that Almighty Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. They are the true believers. Allah says they are the true believers. What the Shia say? Shia say, after Mustafa alayhi salatu salam, 99% of the Sahaba became murtad, they left the fold of Islam. Only 5 people remained. Sayyidina Ali, then Salman Farsi, Hazrat Ammar, Hazrat Miqdad, and like that they say, these people. The rest, they all became murtad, left the fold of Islam.
So my brothers, we must understand, I took you through the term Shia, Shia a Quran, Shia Hadith. Let's come to Ja'fari Fiqh. Today the person will say, what is wrong with you Mawlanas and Ulama, whole day you're fighting. Sometimes fighting about the chicken, sometimes fighting about this, about the Muslim personal law, sometimes this. Now you've got stuck into the Shias and this. What's wrong with you? How we got Hanafi, we got Shafi, we got Malik and Malik? Just say the Shias are there, the fifth Mazhab and Mazhabul Khamis, what is the big problem? Let us understand what we're talking. We say, we are following Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla's commands. We are following the teaching of Mustafa alayhi salam as understood by Imam Abu Hanifa or Imam Shafi'i or Imam Malik or Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah. Never will you hear any Mawlana, Mufti, Sheikh, Imam saying Imam Abu Hanifa is infallible, Imam Shafi is infallible, he never made a mistake. Did you ever hear that? Never. When they say Ja'fari Fiqh, they say we are choosing the fiqh of Imam Ja'far, the sixth Imam of ours, and he is Imam Ma'soom, he's infallible, he's innocent, he never made a mistake in his life. First problem we have. Second, we want the sources. You go to Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Sufyan Thawri, Imam Uzayi, anyone. What do? You go to Quran Kareem. You go to the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salam. You go to the practice of Sahaba and so forth. So these are our sources. Then Ijma, the consensus, Qiyas, analogy, all. When we go and ask them, what is your source? You want to take Imam Ja'far Sadiq? You see what you're talking. Imam Ja'far was divinely appointed by Almighty Allah. He is the source himself. He is the source himself. You see, brothers, where we are going to? Let's go ahead. I want you ulama to make mental note of the three things I'm saying. Number one, we went to Imam Ja'far Sadiq and asked him, you explain to us who are you. He said, Waladani Abu Bakrin Marratain. Study my lineage and you will find I'm connected to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu from both sides. How can I forget Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu? He is my great grandfather. Number one. Number two, when you look at the change, Rijalul Kashi is their book. The person who brought the fiqh of the Shias, the person who brought the fiqh of the Shias, one of the main reporters of Imam Ja'far, Imam Ja'far said this, Imam Ja'far said this, Imam Ja'far said that, is Zurara bin Ayan. Zurara bin Ayan. Remember the name, respected ulama. When Ja'far Sadiq rahimahullah is buried there in Baqi, when he heard what Zurara is attributing to him, thrice he said, La'natullahi ala Zurara, La'natullahi ala Zurara, La'natullahi ala Zurara. Allah's curse be on the Zurara. What things is he doing? And attributing lies towards me. In their own book, if the Sunni wrote it, you could say it's propaganda. Go backwards. Let's just rewind. And third thing I want to tell you of Ja'far Sadiq. Remember Imam Ja'far Sadiq, they made one propaganda. They said all these schools, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, then Imam Shafi'i, then Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, they all indebted to Imam Ja'far Sadiq. Go ask Imam Abu Hanifa, Nu'man bin Thabit, what he said. Lawla sanatan la halaka Nu'man. Lawla sanatan la halaka Nu'man. I, Nu'man bin Thabit, I, Abu Hanifa, if I should not have spent the 2 years with Ja'far, then I should have been destroyed. So the greatest fiqh to learn is fiqh hush, Ja'fari fiqh. Why? Because first comes Imam Ja'far, he taught Imam Abu Hanifa, he taught Imam Malik, then Imam Malik taught Imam Shafi'i, then Imam Shafi'i taught Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Oh, you Sunnis, you all are. You must say shukr and thanks to us. Our Imam, Imam Ja'far, taught your Imams everything. To where they took it. And sometimes you will find these type of quotations in our book. Remember this, brothers, respected ulama. We must never quote things, whether it's on the radio, whether it's our lectures, whether we are writing, unless we have dalil for it. Abdullah Mubarak said, لَوْلَ الْإِسْدَادِ وَقَالَ مَنْ شَاءَ مَا شَاءَ. If you don't have a chain, then remember, any person will say whatever he wants to. What? Then Ali ibn al-Madini, the Ustad of Imam Bukhari said, إِلْمُ الرِّجَالِ نِسْفُ إِلْمِ الْحَدِيثِ. Hadith is not just إِنَّمَ الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Hadith is not just الدِّينُ وَالنَّصِيحَ. Look at the chain before it as well. So how they fabricate things. They fabricated this. Imam Abu Hanifa said, it's not mentioned in any authentic and good book of the Sunnis. But sometime our Sunni ulama also get caught up and they quote this here. I saw it in Sunni kitabs as well. لَوْلَ السَّنَةً لَهَلَكَ نَعْمَانٍ. It is not a true statement. Let's do one step. Let's just rewind for a moment. Mustafa alayhi salatu salam was there. Passed away. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu came, he passed away. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu came, he passed away. It is the time of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Usman ruled this Ummah for 12 years. First 6 years, perfect. Then the disquiet started, criticism started, not from Sahaba, from people who came afterwards, said, we don't agree with this Amirul Mu'mineen. He's taking wrong decisions. He is doing nepotism, giving his family preference and all. Fine. Now comes one of the protagonists, the main players of the Shias. He was Yahudi, Jew. His name, Abdullah bin Sabah. He was called Ibn Sauda, oh you son of an African lady, meaning his mother was like African or whatever. That doesn't concern us. This Abdullah bin Sabah, look at the things that he taught and he brought about. In the time of Sayyidina Usman from Yemen, he came, he embraced Islam, and he became like a very pious person. But slowly, slowly, he started putting the poison. First poison he put, he said, you know Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam had a wasi. Nabi Musa alayhi salam used to go, then he had someone with him, that someone was called Yusha bin Nun. Where it called Musa li fatahu, the fatah is Yusha bin Nun. Mustafa alayhi salatu salam used to go, he used to have one person with him. You know who's that person? Like how Yusha bin Nun was for Musa alayhi salam. So Ali ibn Abi Talib is like that for Mustafa alayhi salatu salam. First poison he puts. There's no question, brothers. Never make this mistake. Our love for Ali must always remain. Our respect for Sayyidina Ali must always remain. فَدَائِلُهُ وَمَنَاقِبُهُ لَا تُعَدُّ وَلَا تُحْصَى. His manaqib virtues are so many. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal also mentioned it. He said he is that sahabi whose virtues are one of the greatest. We don't dispute this type of thing. So he said, but look at this. Then he put the next one. He had his people and they got influence. You know when pious people start saying things. He said, you know what? Never mind Ali being a mortal. Ali is God incarnate. He's Allah in a human form. What the Christians say regarding Jesus Christ. He's God, divinity in the form of humanity. He went to that extent. Who? Abdullah bin Sabah. He brought certain things like that. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, I want to show you what happened. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala becomes Amirul Mu'mineen. All these false attributions are now attributed to Sayyidina Ali. He summons Abdullah bin Sabah al-Yahudi, superficially Muslim. He says, you attributing all these things, you know all these are lies. Say, no, it's right. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala told the people, burn a bonfire. Burn fire there, and we're going to burn him. You know what Abdullah bin Sabah said? It had the wrong impact. He said, you see Ali, I told you that you are Allah, you are God incarnate. Mustafa alayhi salatu salam said, La yu'adzib bin nar illa rabbun nar. No one can punish with the fire except the one who created the fire. This is proving my point. Sayyidina Ali burned them, but they still said that he, Sayyidina Ali, is God incarnate. Go to the Shia school. The Shia school says what? They say the Sunnis are making propaganda. This is just a myth. I got a whole book. Let me tell you another story. When I was in Darul Uloom, Newcastle, so my name Abdul Qadir Hussein, So somewhere I managed to get one. I told Mawasiba Marum about this also, you know. There's certain stories I should tell him, he also used to laugh. You know? I said, Mawlana, you know what, the Shias, that we must get their books. So then I used to write to them. You just write to them in English or Arabic or what. So I told them, I know English, I know Arabic, I know Urdu, I don't know Farsi. So please, you must send books. And I read Abdul Qadir Husseini. I put Husseini. Because they make stories, I also make stories. So with the enemies, you can do that. So then they thought, this is some small Shia sitting there. They're now in South Africa. So many books. If you come one day to my house, I'll show you over 100 books they sent me. In Urdu, in English, in Arabic, and so forth. What I'm quoting to you are mostly from these books there. So I never realized that one day we'll need all these books, you know. But we kept them one day. So brothers, you must remember that in their books is written, they say we have created this person who's a myth. And they wrote the book, The Myth of Abdullah bin Sabah. I got it at home, written by the Shias. We say, if it is a myth, then let us look at your books. Then you will find in Rijalul Kashi, it's mentioned by Allama Kashi. So Abdullah bin Sabah is not a legend, is not a myth, is mentioned in your books. And he spoke about the evil he brought and the poison he brought into Shia Azam and into the Muslim Ummah. Without the shadow of doubt, brothers, you must remember, first, you can say, if you want to give them the benefit of the doubt, we can say Shia Azam started as a political movement. But when it developed and grew, then it grew as a total different religion. Now let's come to some aspects. Taqiyya. You know what is taqiyya? Taqiyya is where you conceal the truth. And you don't say the truth because you feel that you don't have to say it. Allama Kulaini has mentioned in his Kafi, Qala Imam Jafar al-Sadiq, Imam Jafar al-Sadiq said, that taqiyya is tis'atu a'shari deenina, it is 9/10 of our deen is taqiyya. La imana lahu man la taqiyyata lahu. That a person got no iman if he does not make taqiyya. So today when you interact with the Shia here, you love Sayyidina Abu Bakr, he'll say, Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, what you say? So when they speak like that is their taqiyya. That is how they lie and they camouflage the whole thing. So we must remember this type of things here. So this is attributed to Imam Jafar Sadiq and so many things. Let's come to fiqh. Any topic you want. Let's go to fiqh. I'll just give 5-6 examples quickly. You ask anybody here, make wuzu for me. The person will wash his hands, goggle mouth, nose, wash the feet. If he doesn't wash the feet, he will wear khuf. He will wear the leather sock and make masah. So Shia say that you don't wash the feet, you don't make masah on the leather sock, you make masah on the feet itself. Take out my sock and make masah on the feet itself. You see how the Shias make wuzu? Make masah on the feet itself. Anytime you are in Makkah, Medina, wherever, if you're using the public toilets, we are hilltown, you know, we stay in hilltown, so we don't see sometimes. Sometimes go where the masses go, and you will see how they make wuzu. They just do like this, make a little bit masah, finish, the wuzu is done. This is Shia wuzu. When they read Salat, I went to Zanzibar just now, last year also. So I said I want to visit all the places. So I went to the Shia Masjid. Shia Masjid they call Husainiya or they call Imam Bara. Every Musalla got the stone. So that person there, I told him I'm from Junubi Africa, South Africa, he speaks a bit Arabic, English. So I told him that no, I don't want to read Salat here. Then now I go read there. He said, no, read here. Now to just cover myself also. I said, I don't have wuzu. He said, read without wuzu also is alright. And this type of thing. So this type of thing. The characters these chefs, you know. So anyway, now we come to the Salat. So now they put, see in Makkah, Medina what they do. We standing like Muslims in a surf. You will see the Shia will stand in front or he will stand at the back. They won't make sajda on the musalla. They will make on the marble. They say, wad'ul jabhati alal ard. Sajda means, you must make sajda on the ground. So not on the carpet. So you will see, they will look for the place, the gap between the two surfs, or they will. You will see many of them doing that. Then when they end their salat, they hit their heads like this, you saw, like they're going to fly or something. You know, so this type of thing. That is order. You go in fasting, they wait for half an hour after sunset. When the stars come out, ishtibak in nujum takes place, then they make iftar. You come to Hajj, we got tawaful ziyara, tawaful ifada, they got tawaful nisa. That you must make a special one tawaf, then your women become, after tawaful ziyara, you make another one tawaf, then your wives become halal for you. In everything, when I used to teach the students in Darul Uloom, you know, Newcastle, so sometimes they used to, I say in everything we got ikhtilaf with the Shias, even in jima we got ikhtilaf with them. Jima is when you go to your wives. You must remember, I go to my house, they sent me Tafsir-e-Mubin. They sent it to me. All the books I got are after the revolution of 79. I had no Shia books really. They sent all the books to me. So you must remember that every person, even non-Muslim will tell you, you get married, husband-wife relationship, you go to the front of the husband or the wife. So they say, Shia say, you can go front, back, everything works. You can sodomize your wife. It's totally permissible according to the Shias. You can sodomize. I don't say you guys must do all this kind of, you know. So it's haram obviously. So you must remember that is Shiaism. Khomeini wrote Tawdihul Masail. I got the book by me. He wrote in Tawdihul Masail, you take a woman, tell the lady, Atamatta ubiki bisa'a. I make muta with you for 1 hour. You agree? She say agree. I pay $100, 100 rupees, 100 rand, 150 rand. Mutually agreed upon. Finish. It's fine. Not only permissible. You do it one time, you get sawab of Sayyidina Hassan. 2 times Sayyidina Hussein. 3 times Sayyidina Ali. 4th time you get sawab of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you think I'm lying, we show you all the sources and the references. I had a live debate on General Islam with the Shia, it's one of the bigger Shias. I just took a chance actually. So you must, you know, that time we have to make a lot of dua to Allah. I said, bring him, we'll take him on. Twice I had a debate with him. I said, live this is. You know, live radio is very risky because you can lose a lot of points. So anyway, just make dua Allah's help. So every time I push them onto mutah because I know they don't like that topic at all. I say, Sheikh, tell me about your muta. He said, yeah, you always just want to speak about muta and this type of thing. I said, it's in your books, it's not in our books. Tell me, will you give your daughter for muta? This way, that way, avoid the question. In the ending, now everything is taped and the listeners are, if you want it, you must just phone, just stamp, they'll send you the whole CD. You have to pay for it, obviously. Long time it is. So anyway, you must remember, in the ending, I told him, Sheikh, before we end up, you must tell us about the mutah and your daughter. He said, yes, I gave my daughter for mutah. But I told my son-in-law, for 1 year, you must not consummate the marriage with my daughter. You must just feel her, touch her, does that. After 1 year, when you feel now you are compatible, suitable to one another, then you can start consummating. So I told him, Sheikh, every night you go with a thought to go check there what's happening. You should see his face. Wait, if he could help it, he should have busted me up into the studio there. But it's live radio, he can't do anything. So this is the Shia. Let's go on to serious stuff, brothers. The harm the Shias have caused this Ummah. Iran, Ahlu Sunnah country. Don't make this mistake, brothers. The indictment upon us. Masjid Aqsa, we don't read. Palestine, we don't read. Today, Libya, we don't read. About what we're discussing now, Iran, we don't read. Iran was an Ahlu Sunnah Sunni country, I just gave you. Imam Ibn Majah, Imam Muslim, and Imam Abu Dawood, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Imam Fakhruddin Razi, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Razi. These giants of the Ummah came from Iran. You must remember that. When did the change take place? Go back 500 years, Gregorian calendar, the year 1500. You had a government called the Safavi, Hukumatu Safaviya. Now the Muslims were getting weaker, weaker, weaker. People love power. So they had the Shias and bribery, corruption, war. They came into power. When you come into power, what do you do? The first thing you do is you eliminate the opposition. And they started massacring the ulama of the Ahlul Sunnah. Three Sunni Mulvis, Imam Sheikh, get rid of them. Once you cut the head, then forcibly taking the Sunnis and making them into Shia. That's why today you got 70-75% of Shia in Iran. Otherwise ask them, before 1500 Gregorian calendar, what was the history of Iran? Iran was a Sunni country, overwhelming majority Sunni. So that was the history of Iran. Carry on. For 250 years, the government of Safaviyya continued. Then they lost it, the Afghans to the rescue. Afghans must come. Afghans slaughtered them, finished them up. The first ruler to come for after that, Nadir Shah. Nadir Shah came, he said, you know, now we have taken control of Iran. We must sort out this. This Iran always this problem. Either you look this side, they are fighting with Turkey. You look that side, with the Ottoman Empire. You look that side there, then they are fighting with other countries, Iraq and this and that. He called the Sunni Alim and the Shia Alim and told them you must debate in full public. And both of you then must come to a mutual agreement. And that is what we'll agree. In Najaf, they had all these big, big debates and all these things. From Kuf they came, Najaf they came, all this. Nadir Shah said, fine, Sunni Shia unity we agree. Today people say, why you don't unite? Nadir Shah united them. What they did with Nadir Shah, before what they did, let me explain to you. Nadir Shah wrote to the Ottoman Empire in Turkey, Istanbul. He told them, I have two, three requests from you. You see, there in Makkah Mukarramah, you got four musallas. So you got Maqam-e-Shafi was the biggest. Where Hajar-e-Aswad looked at Yamani, so that side there. So remember, in that corner was Maqam-e-Shafi. Behind the Hatim, Maqam-e-Hanafiya, the Hanafi Musalla. Then on one side the Malikiya, on the other side the Hanabila and Malikiya. He said, now you must put the Musalla, he's telling the Ottoman Empire, Maqam-e-Jafariya. Who's saying this? Nadir Shah is appealing to the Muslim ruler, Khalif of the Muslim Empire. Second one, when people used to perform Hajj, one year they said Amirul Hajij, Amirul Hujjaj is a Hanafi. The next year will be a Shafi. The next year will be a Maliki. The next year will be a Hanbali. So every 4 years you would get the turn. They said the fifth year must be given to a Jafari. So the Ottoman Empire refused both. They say we don't accept this. What the Shias did, they slaughtered Nadir Shah. They killed him. So all these people who speak about unity, understand, they don't want unity. They want to take our people and make them into Shia. Go today to Cape Town. They call themselves the Ahlul Bayt Foundation. Go read their website. They say we have to increase our population in South Africa. How are you going to increase the population? I know, you know. Easy way, you get married to the Sunni woman. I asked one lady, how could you get married to that person in Shia? She said, you know what, Mufti Sahab, he's teaching me wonderful things about the Ahlul Bayt. He told me about Hazrat Fatima and about Hazrat Ali and about this. This is the good face of the Shias. And they will speak of their intense love for Sayyidina Ali, Sayyidina. If they love Sayyidina Ali, if they love Sayyidina Hassan, if they love Sayyidina Hussein, then I ask you three questions. Number one, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu gave his daughter Umm Kulthum. Listen carefully, brothers. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu gave his daughter Umm Kulthum in nikah to Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. You are saying Umar bin Khattab is a usurper, is a murtad, is kafir. Allah forbid, what worse than shaitan they make him, Allah forbid. Sayyidina Ali gave his daughter to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. What? Ghost, did you ever hear about Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein's children's names? Who studied? What are the children's name of Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu's children? One's name Abu Bakr, another one's name Umar. They love Shaykhain and they love the Sahaba so much, they took their name and gave it to their own beloved children.
The Shias don't tell us, and therefore they excluded them from the Ahlul Bayt. You see the politics playing now. Third one, my brothers, ask the Shias. We don't read, brothers. In the 7th century, I'm turning the pages of history quickly. I still want to discuss 3-4 issues. Turn the pages of history. Today the world knows what the Jews call the Holocaust. Do we know 1.5 million people to 2 million? 1.5 is definite. 2 million is disputed. Let's take 1.5. 1.5, 1.6 million. 1.5 million people, 1.6 million people, Muslims, got slaughtered in Baghdad. When the Tatars invaded Baghdad, who was the leader? Hulaku. Who opened the gates for them? Who opened the gate for the Tatars, for the Mongols, and for Hulaku? Remember these two names, brothers. One of the greatest khianat and treachery committed by the Shias, and they cannot dispute it, is written in their books. Khwaja Nasiruddin Nasiruddin Tusi. Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi. Great scholar, great alim, mufassir, muhaddis, faqih, everything. But money speaks all languages. When he saw Baghdad and them getting weaker and weaker, then private negotiations, caucus meeting, he told Hulaku, the people will listen to me, I will open the gate of Baghdad, but you must give me a good position in your government. Second Shia to commit treachery, Ibn al-Alqami. So Ibn al-Alqami, second wazir he was called, and he gave the secrets away. The fall of Baghdad, which led to the death of 1.5 million Muslims, the biggest cause of it were the Shias. You want to discuss politics of the Shias? We prepare to discuss. Bring now current issues. I never even discussed Khomeini, and that's another topic and all that. Quickly, brothers, what is Iran today? All these people say unity, Shia, Sunni, bye-bye. We are all brothers. Just make Mazhabul Khamis, just say Jafari Fiqh. Ask them this. In the Shia constitution is written, the person who must be the president must be a Shi'i who belongs to the Imamiyya faith. If you wanted unity, you could have written, he must be a Muslim. But they specified and designated it, he must be a Shi'i. What? That same debate I had with the Sheikh Husseini, I asked him. I said in Ray, Ray is the old name. In Tehran, we're not speaking of the whole of Iran. The only capital in the Muslim world, brothers and sisters. The only capital in the Muslim world that does not have a masjid. Masjid, I'm not speaking about Islamic center and musalla and all that. A masjid, proper masjid for us, the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Washington has got. Russia has got. Non-Muslim countries have got. Every capital in the world almost has got. But Iran does not allow in Tehran for us, the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, to have a masjid there. You go to the Pakistani embassy, you go to the Saudi Arabian embassy, you go to the other embassy, where you read Jummah Salat, where you read? They say we all got our own Jamaat Khana, Musalla, this and all. No masjid. So isn't that hollow and shallow your claim that you want brotherhood with us? You see, learn what's happening now. Brothers, you must remember, Khomeini wrote a book, the ulama will understand the title, At-Ta'aruz wa Tarjih. I'm giving you the reference. Khomeini's book, At-Ta'aruz wa Tarjih. In there he wrote the story. He says that a person came to one of the imams in Ayatullah and so forth, and they asked him, in our town, our place is only Sunnis there. There isn't no Shia. But I am the one man, one vote. I am the only Shia there. Now what must I do? How can I practice on our fiqh? He said, no problem. Go to the Sunni Sheikh, Alim, Imam and ask him the masla. Whatever masla he tells you, just practice the opposite of that. Whose teaching is this? Ayatullah, Ruhullah Khomeini. What can I tell you, brothers? We can cry. امیر المومنین سیدنا عمر بن خطاب رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ مدد فجر time, he was stabbed, and after a few days he passed away. Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi, go to Iran after the revolution, they used to have Abu Lu'lu Day, celebrating the Qatil and murderer of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab. In Iran, the place called Kashaf, they used to go there and they used to celebrate there. Some of our ulama, they thought, they know that we must bring unity. Sheikh Yusuf Qardawi went and he told the Iranians and he told them, the Shias, you all tell us unity, unity. But the person who killed Sayyidina Umar, every time you'll go there and celebrate, how can we have unity with you? Now 3-4 years ago only they closed that place. You see, brothers, these are all statistics and facts we should know. Mahdi, the last Imam of the Shias, first Imam Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Last Imam, Muhammad bin Hassan al-Askari. He was born in the year 260 AH. He went, he lived for 5 years, they say, till the year 265. After that, he went away in a cave. He went away in some place. Surra bin Ra'af. He's gone in Ghaybubatul Sughra, and he went away, and in occultation. He went away in hiding. But few people still had some contact with him. And now he's gone away in Ghaybubatul Kubra. That Allah alone knows when he'll come back. He's got the original Quran with him. He's got the original teaching of Islam with him. That is the concept of Imam Mahdi. Al-Mahdi Al-Muntadhar Muhammad bin Hassan Al-Askari. Born 260, we in 1432. So you work out his age already. More than 1200 years old he is according to the Shias. And Allah alone knows when he'll come. So what must they do in the meantime? They must make intizar, they must wait. What must they do in the meantime? They must make taqiyya. And they must do holy hypocrisy. So brothers, there are so many issues. We went to Imam Abu Hanifa and asked him, oh Imam Hanifa, tell us about the Shias. So he said, Antufadzila Shaykhin, you have to give virtue to Shaykhin. That you must say Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, the best. The best of Sahaba. And then, وَتُحِبَّ الْخَتَنَيْنِ, you must love both the son-in-laws, Sayyidina Usman and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. وَتَرَى الْمَسْحَ عَلَى الْخُفَيْنِ, and you make masah on the khufayn. All three things the Shias reject. They hate Sayyidina Abu Bakr, they hate Sayyidina Umar. They say and claim they love Sayyidina Ali, but they hate Sayyidina Usman, but he is the son-in-law twice. And remember, the last one, masah عَلَى الْخُفَيْنِ, they reject. We go to Sayyidina, it is Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. What did Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah say? لو كان الرفض حب آل محمد, if Shiaism and being a Rafizi, Rafizi means leaving the right path. لو كان الرفض حب آل محمد, if loving Mustafa alayhi salatu salam in the true sense of the word was Shiaism, فليشهد استقلان, let the heavens and the earth, let human being and jinn bear testimony, أني رافذ, I Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi am a Shia also. You understood what he said? They are whole thing of saying they love Ahlul Bayt. They are whole thing of saying that they love all is a lie also. So therefore he used the word low. Low kana rifdu hubba ali Muhammad. So my brothers, remember this topic can go on and on and on. Many other things to discuss. Many names, many this. So I discuss what I felt were the most important. Last 5 minutes, till 20 past I'll finish. Then I'm talking for almost 1 hour, 1 hour 25 minutes I think, or 1.5 hour almost. This whole Usama story, I know some of the youngsters, they want to hear. This morning, every morning I sit with my email, some of you brothers you will see every day after Fajr, hundreds of email with Allah's help. So we try and answer it. Today Dr. Ismat Musa, I think maybe some of you will know him, Iqbal's brother, he sent me an email of Usama. And he said, listen to who is Usama. And another Mujahid went and is giving the life history of Usama. I'll come to that. When I was reading, the tears were rolling down. Who is Usama? What he did for this Ummah? Usama was born in 1957. I was born in 57, so that's why I remember easy, right? So he was born in 1957. He grew up there. And then he studied in King Abdul Aziz University, everything, all that. them. Allah selects whoever He wants to. King Fahd came into power. The first thing, one of the first things he did, he said, we must extend the Haramain. So wonderful thing he did. We must give credit where credit is due. So they expanded the Haram in Makkah, they expanded the Haram in Medina. Who took the job? Bin Laden is a multi-billionaire. They're from Yemen, they're not from Saudi. They are. You know Bin Laden's grandfather? Bin Laden's grandfather. You know how many children he got, Bin Laden's father? His sons alone are over 50, 55. They don't tell us about his daughters. By him, what touches a move, you know? So this, so you must remember that. So he's number 18 or 19, Bin Laden, this Usama who passed away, they say. So you must remember his grandfather, Zohar time, he reads Salat, Makkah, Mukarramah. Asr time, he reads Salat in Medina Munawwara. Maghrib time, he takes helicopter plane, he's there in Majidul Aqsa. Before 1967, he said, I must look after the three harams in the 60s. Every second, third week, he used to read one Salat Makkah, one Salat Medina Munawwara, one Salat in Aqsa. Carry on with Usama's story. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَنْ أُسَامَ. What will make you understand who is Usama, brothers? So Usama means to be the lion. So anyway, Usama then, he took the job, Mushrif al-Masjid al-Nabawi. I will supervise the extension of Masjid al-Nabawi. Allah Ta'ala chose him. 1979, the Russian army came, invaded Afghanistan, the Red Army, USSR. You know, people just hear the name, the wuzu break so powerful. So you must remember, Usama left his studies, left everything, say jihad. He stirred up the Saudis and the Arabs and what and what. President Reagan is in power in the White House. There's no doubt, Americans did help. We must be fair to the enemy also. So the Americans did help a little bit. But remember what Usama and the Mujahideen al-Arab and our Mujahideen, the Taliban, their fathers and grandfathers did was a historic and heroic occasion. In 1989, remember the Red Army had to take their tails between their legs and run from there. And the whole United USSR, the Soviet Union disintegrated. The whole Saudi Arabia, royal family, politicians, President Reagan, he said, Usama is a freedom fighter. You see? This is what the world did. They gave him accolade upon accolade. Now we go forward. 1991. Let's just go back. Some of you in this masjid are here. It happened to me, I'm sure it happened to some of you. When your father was there in his last moments, you were there by him, holding him, or he passed away in your hands or something. When your beloved mother was leaving this world, then you were there and you were saying that, oh mommy, that you know, read kalima, or whatever. So I was there for mother, father, alhamdulillah. So brothers, if they told you beta, do this, do that, how much importance will you attach to that? Mustafa alayhi salatu salam is on his deathbed. What did Mustafa alayhi salam say? Akhrijul Yahud wa Nasara min Jazirat al-Arab. Authentic hadith Sahih Muslim. This is not ordinary, this is the master, the best, most beloved to Almighty Allah in the entire universe. 1991, the first Gulf War takes place. Now they want to attack Saddam. So that was a character also, you know. Hussein, Hussein, Barak Hussein, we all Husseins, you know. So anyway, Saddam story now next time we'll speak. So anyway, now when they were attacking, Saudi Arabia was being used as one of the attack points. So the American army are now being based in Saudi. Turning point. Usama goes and tells the rulers, we can't allow this. This is absolutely haram. An insult to the Muslim, to Islam and everything. They must be out. There the problem starts. Slowly his citizenship is removed. He's no more a Saudi.
He runs to Sudan, he runs to Pakistan, he runs to Afghanistan. Read Robert Fisk's article, I got it in today's paper. I think the paper is there by my wife. So I must tell you about the passenger next to me also in the plane, what happened. So so Robert Fisk's article is in today's Star. You can just look it on your website and you'll find it there. Wonderful. Robert Fisk, he met Osama thrice and he writes there. He writes certain things I don't agree, but anyway on the whole it's a good article. So anyway, so he went here, he went there, he went there. He started Al-Qaeda, it's true. There's no question about all that as well. The point I want to make is this. Whether he passed away, he died, he didn't die, Allah alone knows all these things. The point he taught the Ummah. And this Dr. Ismet sent me. He says when the Mujahideen used to go to his house, not who of me and you can say this. Not one table in his house, not one chair in his house. He said everything used to be done on the floor. He said when I want to use the phone, then Usama said, no, you are my guest. He used to go get the phone himself and give it to him. He said, Usama, I need $1 million. See, immediately he would just write the check, here's your $1 million. Me and you, $1 million also will make 10 istikharas. So this type of things. His sister, he went to her and said the Mujahideen need this amount of money. And he told his sister, this is your time, Allah has given us this money. His sister wrote a check, 8 million Saudi riyals. One check they gave to the Mujahideen. You can forget all this, brothers. We are not saying Osama didn't make mistakes. We are not saying that the Shias is infallible. He made mistakes, we make mistakes, we are sinners, he's a sinner. But the izzat he brought to the Arabs, the honor he brought to Afghanistan, who in... Go read what the Afghans... You know who are Afghans? Afghans are the strongest people. Let me tell you, they pick me up with one hand, they're so tough. You must remember, they say, what risk Osama used to take and the Arab Mujahideen. We couldn't take such a risk. So that is how the honor he brought. Today, we see, okay, we say he's gone. The two or three questions we ask. If you killed him, then why you are not showing the body? Obama gives the story, fairy tale story. If we show the body, then these people will use it for propaganda purposes. It is too gruesome. Day before yesterday, they shot him in the head. Now they say they shot him in the leg. Yesterday, before yesterday, story was they killed him in a house. Now the story is they brought him outside. Day three days ago, the story was they killed the wife. Today, Star got the snap of his youngest wife. That she is there and they couldn't take over the helicopter because the one helicopter was shot down. And this one here, Pakistan government say, we're not giving you this wife, you send her back to Yemen. Today, Star got it. I got it with me. So brothers, you must remember, a fisherman, you all love fishing, the fisherman pulls out the big fish, first thing you do, you show the people. What a fish you got, Osama, and you didn't show the people. So it's a fishy story as far as we are concerned, right? So you must remember, for me and you brothers, life is very short, we got choices. Biggest thing, our foundation has to be strong. We studied by our ulama and all that. Today is new South Africa, brothers. Today is not all South Africa, is not your Transvaal Natal. Shias are pouring in, Turks are coming in, go to Madrain. Our ulama, our madaris, they don't see the danger. They are sending their children to these schools. They come for collection, they will tell you we're putting a Muslim school. But they won't tell you the Muslim school does not allow you a kurta for your son. They don't allow your son to have a beard, but it's a Muslim school. The biggest school, Islamic school, in the entire southern hemisphere, that is how they promote it. And we are gullible people. Think properly, brothers. The Shias is the only government that is patronizing their ambassadors, patronizing the Shias. Anybody, I told you, I just wrote 3-4 letters or 5-6 letters, I can't remember exactly. They sent me over 100 books. But now somebody spied them and spied me and told them this is the shaitan and whatever, he swore me or whatever. So you must remember, don't give him any more books, he's going to use it against us. Or maybe even I said it on air, whatever it is. So anyway, you must remember that this is how they operate. Our governments, nobody's going to be... They will help you if their hidden agenda is being to be used. Shias want to promote Shiaism throughout the whole world. Easiest targets, the poor Muslim. how the Christian missionaries work, same thing. You go to Verlam, 600 families according to the ulama there, in that north coast there area, have already become Shia. You see? Don't think everything is hunky-dory and everything is fine, brothers. There are serious issues here. Next one, my brothers, is, okay, let's tell you quickly, 3 stories I'll tell you by Hapas, then I'll finish up. In the plane, I was reading the book I brought about the lecture, you know, I said, let me just read a few notes. That person, white chip, said, you know, he didn't speak in the start, I just said, hello, and he said, and I got busy. See, what you reading, what's this? I said, you see, brother, this is Arabic. He said, how you read it? I say, you read from right to left. I said, you know, the Bible also you read right to left. What? I said, not this Bible, your original Bible in Aramaic that was revealed to Prophet Moses, Prophet Isa, whatever. So I didn't say Prophet Jesus, I just say, you know. So go to your original. He got the shock of his life. You see, brothers, we can be on the air, right in the air, or we can be on air on the radio. To make da'wat is easy. But we need to know what we are talking. So he got a shock, asked him, what are you doing? He says, he's a farmer there in Moy River and all these type of things. So that was his story that I want to share with you. I went for Hajj last year with Allah's help, went for Umrah. 2 stories here. Mawlana, just bring a Quran of the Saudis, the Mus'haf of the Saudis. Not our South African one. Yeah, right, perfect. No, not the Pakistani one, no, green one. This is blue. The one without the lines. Okay, so we went there. I want you must... Right, perfect. You go to Makkah, Medina, you go to the Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Nabawi, you'll find this Quran, thousands, millions of them. When we leave, come home after Hajj, they give everyone a free copy. Go to the last page. We don't go to the last page. He's here, he's here. وَقَدْ كَتَّبَهُ الْخَطَّاتُ Usman Taha. His name is here. Every copy, his name is there. After Hajj last year, he's a Syrian, 80 years old now. So, I went to his house, spoke this, that. So he told me, Abdul Qadir, now what you want? I said, Sheikh, I want to know that I heard you wrote the Quran. He said, Sab'a marrati. I nearly fell down. He says, 7 times I wrote the whole Quran from starting to end. Once in Dimashq, in Damascus, he's a Syrian, and 6 times here in Medina Munawwar. Sheikh, how long are you here? 22 years, it was last year, this year 23 years now. So we started speaking this and all. I will link it up to the Shias, just now you'll understand. Then, I told him, Sheikh, I want 2 things from you. He say, what? I say, please give me your hand, I must kiss it. So he say, Sheikh Mutawalli Sha'arawi came and he said the same thing. So he took out his hand, I kissed it. I say, the hand that wrote the Quran 7 times. Then he gave it to Mujamma Malik Fahad, and then they started printing it, putting it on computer, everything there, and now they make millions of copies. But the writing is his. So he wrote Abdul Qadir Hussein and all this stuff. So that was 2, I had to write my name, so he wrote it. He go at the back. You know this Khattat, these calligraphers. They write Abdul Qadir Hussein, he's just 3, it takes 15-20 minutes. So he came and he gave it to me. So I just smiled, Jazakallah khair. Say, Sheikh, for you, I wrote this, your name, the same pen I write the Quran Sharif. But I'm not showing you the pen. Hada sirrun baydi. I say, La ahtaj ya Sheikh ilal qalam. I don't need the pen, I need what you wrote for me and this type of thing. So you have to be like all this. You make one to joke also, you know. I even told him last year, I told him, Sheikh, I'm looking at you, you're 80 years old. He said, come sit here next to me. Feel my muscles. 80 years old, his hand don't shake. Me and you to put our sugar also, the hand will shake. So I must remember. He said, feel my muscles. I felt it. I said, Sheikh, what you pick up weights or what? He said, I was there for Jaish in Syria. Then I left all that. I said, okay, you're in the army. Right. Now I went for Umrah, land up again. He said, I don't want nobody, I'm very sick and all these kind of things. So we went. So then Sheikh, again another job. He said, what? I said, write my wife's name. So he says, no, you know, he's very reluctant. He says, Sheikh, Anna Marie is, and I'm sick. His wife also is sick, and this. His wife is from Turkey. So anyway, I just write Fatima Usman Hussein. He starts smiling. He says, Binti, my daughter's name Fatima Usman Hussein. So
So Usman Taha, so his full name Usman Hussein Taha. There was another Hussein, you see. So his daughter's name Fatima Usman Hussein. So I say, Sheikh, now you have to write it. He said, no, now I have to write it. So he go back, and now again 50 verse, another three names he write, he give it to me. So again we kiss his hand, everything, we come back and all. When we're leaving, he says, Sallim ala binti. He tell me, give salam to my daughter. That's what he said. My wife and his daughter, Fatima Usman Hussein, same name. So he just play, he says, give salam to my daughter. Then we came to serious stuff. This was now. I tell him, Sheikh, all this trouble going on in Syria, tell me what's happening there. I don't understand everything. I don't believe all this media too much. He says our rulers, Hafizul Asad, Bashar Asad, they are one of the worst type of Shias you can get, Alawiyin. I've been to Syria 4 or 5 times, I can't remember also. The one guide we had, in the 90s this was, I told him, I can't leave the Mish, I must go to Amir Muawiyah's grave. He told me, Sheikh, if they catch us, they put us in jail. I said, never mind, we just take a chance. Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, who ruled this Ummah from 41 to 60, 20 years he ruled this Ummah. When the Shias in Muharram, they curse Yazid, they curse Muawiyah, they're cursing that man, brothers and sisters in Islam, who ruled this Ummah for 20 years. They're cursing the man who is Katibul Wahi, who wrote down Wahi and Revelation after it was revealed. They're cursing the man who, when he passed away, before he passed away, made wasiyah. He said, Mustafa alayhi salatu salam in Hajjatul Wida, the hair Mubarak was given out and distributed, the nails Mubarak of Mustafa alayhi salam were distributed. Take these nails of Mustafa alayhi salam and place it here on my eyes, and khalli baini wa baina rabbi, go away and leave me and Allah. Do we know who's Amir Muawiyah? So Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, we went to his grave. The Shias come there, brothers, you want to urinate, they want to spit, and all this thing. Now they barricaded it, all this type of Sheikh Huzaifi, last one, two incidents and finished them. You heard Sheikh Huzaifi's khutbah when he spoke against the Shias? What was the background? You see, the time is to close the haram at night. Now they don't close it. It's 24 hours open. So when these president, prime ministers come, now it's protocol. So me and you go with small timers, so we go to salami ourselves. Now the president of Iran come, the prime minister come of this country. So they send the imam. So they send Sheikh Huzaifi. You must go with this imam and you know. So Sheikh Huzaifi read, As-salatu wa-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, As-salatu wa-salamu alayka ya Habib al-Aut. He read. Then he moved. There's no one in the masjid. It's only there. It's closed. Then he moved to Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar. Say, Sheikh Huzaifi, start reading this leader, not this chap now, Ahmadinejad before. So you must remember what he did. He took his spit in Masjid Nabawi and he spat in the direction of Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar. Sheikh Huzaifi's head turned, he walked away, he prepared the khutbah, and the rest is history as you know. So brothers, it's a matter not of Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki. These differences are subsidiary, secondary. Our differences with the Shias are on fundamental issues, on core issues, and it's a matter of Iman and Kufr. So therefore, we all must be aware. You cannot fight the enemy if you do not know the enemy. Why are they so dangerous? You got a shop. You put burglar guards. You put big alarm and everything. But inside you got somebody, your son or your neighbor's son, and every day he's pocketing 100, 200, 500. Gharkachor. So Shias are gharkachor. They inside. You don't know what they are doing. So brothers, we should also make dua that Almighty Allah protects the Ummah. It's very difficult times. Almighty Allah protect the Mujahideen. And inshallah, I received the SMS yesterday. They said when the next tsunami comes to America, they will blame Usama. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.